Good evening and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Edinburgh this evening, and we have had a couple of technical issues so far, but we are delighted to bring to you for tonight's show. First of all, John Daffern, who's the Acting Programme Leader at Scottish College for Educational Leadership, and will be followed very shortly in the next half, within the next half hour, by two of the SKELL Fellows. So, good evening, John, how are you?
Good evening, David. I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. I've just been at a social pedagogy launch event up at the City Chambers in Edinburgh with our good colleagues from Thempra and Edinburgh City Council, so I'm very, very inspired this evening, but delighted to have you along on Edutalk. And maybe could you just start by saying a bit about your career in education, John, and then I'm sure our Fellows will introduce themselves later on, but just give us a flavour about what's going to be coming on later on the show in terms of Annette and Jay.
Yeah, okay, David, thank you. David, maybe just one thing, it's amazing how time flies, but my title at SKELL is now Programme Leader, I'm delighted to say.
Ah, fantastic, congratulations.
Well, thank you, following successful interview for me, maybe about 4 weeks ago now, I am now Programme Leader and no longer Acting Programme Leader, which is, for me, great because I had a lengthy spell of secondment from the National CPD team through to Local Authority secondment, and then, of course, 2 years with SKELL. So I'm delighted now to be have a full-time contract or a fixed-term contract as Programme Leader with SKELL. I would like to say good evening to you, to the listeners as well, David. Wish them a warm welcome, and also extend that and my thanks to Annette and Jay for taking part this evening. It's another example of how we are able to enlist the support of our fellows for SKELL to build the capacity at the centre for us.
So, John, you mentioned you were with the National CPD team. Where else have you worked within education?
Yep. Well, I started as a maths teacher actually way back in 1982, and then at that time I taught maths, and a few years later I also taught computing, and then I was acting head of maths, head of computing out in Cumbernauld. And then I moved to Lindsay Academy, where I was head of computing and then acting assistant head, and then moved to Mearns Castle, East Renfrewshire, as assistant head and then deputy head.
Thank you. And I'll just say before we introduce or reintroduce, because we did have Gillian Hamilton on a few weeks ago, the SKELL Leadership, SKELL Fellowship Programme, we'll just say that if you're listening to live stream or indeed the podcast, you can get in touch via email. That's edutalker, edutalker, at hotmail.co.uk if you've got any questions for John, Programme Leader at SKELL, or indeed our two special guests this evening, Jay and Annette, who are the graduates from the Fellowship Programme. You can also put a comment or question up on Twitter using the hashtag Edutalk. So, John, just remind us about, first of all, very briefly, the work of SKELL, and then this Fellowship Programme that's still very much in its infancy, but has seemed to gain traction and comment across Scottish education.
Yeah. Okay, David, probably very generally, because I'm sure Gillian went into great detail when she was on the programme a few weeks ago. SKELL was one of the recommendations from Teaching Scotland's Future to create a virtual college. Initially, it was suggested by Graeme Donaldson, and the scoping team was appointed to look at possible models for the college. I was a member of the scoping team along with Marjorie McMahon and Isabel Boyd, and we put recommendations to the National Implementation Board, who accepted our recommendations. And then Marjorie and I worked for a period to take those recommendations forward before Gillian was appointed as CEO last September. The main work of SKELL is to bring a coherence and a coordination to leadership provision across Scotland for teachers and early years practitioners.
And the Fellowship Programme itself then, John?
Okay, the Fellowship Programme, well, from my point of view, as Programme Leader and leader of the Fellowship Programme, following a very successful pilot programme last year, our Fellowship Programme for Cohort 2 started March of this year with 8 participants. As you will be aware, Teaching Scotland's Future recognised the importance of educational leadership and, as I said, recommended that more development opportunities should be provided for experienced head teachers from the middle years of headship onwards. The report also foresaw the potential for experienced high-performing head teachers to contribute to system-level leadership of education within Scotland. And the Fellowship Programme for Skill aims to realise this vision and these ambitions. I think the realigning and rethinking of CPD to now focus on professional learning that is career-long has implications for school leaders. The professional learning needs of these senior leaders are varied, and yet they're very individualised. They require bespoke approaches that are directly relevant, but they need to be transferable across contexts. I suppose from the outset, David, it's important to stress that the Fellowship Programme is about developing system leadership capacity through developing system leaders. Clive Dimmock, who's, interestingly enough, one of our academic advisors on the programme, he refers to system leaders as those who care about and work for the success of other schools, not just their own, and have a shared sense of mission and responsibility to improve the larger system, and realise that to do so, they have to engage with it in a meaningful way. So he really emphasises what I'm saying, and that is that it really is about building system leadership capacity. It's there to design and provide advanced development opportunities for head teachers in schools and heads of establishments in earlier centres, as I said earlier. I suppose the design principles for us, they're underpinned by the model of professional learning that integrates reflection practice, cognitive development, experiential learning, and collaborative learning. And during the programme, participants extend their professional learning and widen their leadership experience while taking forward an aspect of policy development that enables them to engage with policy formation and implementation at local or national or international levels, or in fact a mix of all three. New fellows become champions and ambassadors for the college, as well as contributing as system leaders in Scotland. And as I've said earlier, they're here tonight is a great example of us now working with G and Annette, who are two of our first cohort of eight fellows who were awarded the fellowship in March of this year at the award ceremony, a joint award ceremony with ourselves, Skell and GTC through in Stirling. So once awarded the Skell Fellowship, from our point of view, there's an expectation that the fellows will become champions for leadership and that the teaching profession with that share their expertise in a variety of ways. For us, they play a key role in the development and evolution of the college itself, and through the recruitment of yearly cohorts, a rich pool of expertise and system leadership capacity will become available and accessible. And maybe just to finish there, David, what I would say is that we are running a cohort three, another cohort, and more details about the fellowship programme itself can be found at our website, which is www.skellscotland, all one word, so that's skellscotland.org.uk. And this third cohort is planned for around September, October of this year. So I would suggest that people should keep their eyes to our website and also any information that's coming directly from the local authority.
That's fantastic, John. Thank you so much for giving such clear context to the fellowship programme at Skell. Now, the idea was that the four of us were going to have a conversation around the fellowship programme. Unfortunately, I won't blame Skype, but the technology's let us down somewhat this evening. So, unfortunately, we'll have to say goodbye to John. But thanks for the introduction. And to listeners, the broadcast will go dead for about the next 30 seconds or so. If you don't hear our next guest, it's a Skell Fellow. Well, I think we're going to go to Annette Beaton first of all. If you don't hear Annette's voice in the next 30 seconds or so, then just refresh your browser and hopefully everything will be fine. I'm just going to hang up on John now. Thanks again, John, and in 30 seconds time you should hear Annette's voice, so if you just bear with us.
Thanks, David.
All right, and so to our listeners, that should be us back on air. I'm just going to double check that Everything's working fine. I'm delighted that we have now on the show Annette Beaton, who's one of the Skell Fellows. And everything's working fine. So welcome to EduTalk, Annette. And could you just start by giving us a brief background to your career in education?
Hello, David. Yes. I've had a very varied and unusual background for a head teacher in many ways. I started out life as an infant teacher way back in the 70s, went back to my house, trained as a teacher of the deaf, worked in deaf education until moving abroad to teach in the Middle East for a number of years. I then set up the first ever Western-style kindergarten for Omani children in the Sultanate of Oman, and came back to Scotland in the early 90s. And from that point, have had a very rich professional life. I was back into being a teacher of the deaf for a while. Then I moved into a large secondary school and became Education Officer for Education Action Plans. Then came to Stirling when our family moved to Perthshire, and was Support for Learning Area Network Team Coordinator in Stirling for 7 years, and then took up my first post as head teacher at the Royal School of Dunkeld, which I think has became the greatest love of my professional life, before now moving into Crieff Primary, which is a large primary school in Crieff, and into very exciting times.
Yeah, thank you very much, Annette. And our focus this evening, I heard you speak recently, Annette, I'd love to hear more about your work in Crieff, but this evening, I suppose we'll touch on it over the next 10 minutes or so, but could you focus in and tell us a bit about your journey towards becoming a Skell Fellow?
Yes, I think one of the words I would have to use about the fellowship programme would be about the richness of the professional learning experience. And I have described it to many people as the most uplifting professional experience I have ever undertaken. And I think that's to do really with the features of the fellowship that became so important, and the level of debate and dialogue we had around each of the main areas as I see them. And we did a lot of work and thinking and exploration of the meaning of expansive leadership. And we were very lucky in that we had some amazing academic mentors. We had, as John has said, we had Clive Dimmock from the Robert Owen Centre and Dr. Marjorie McMahon from Glasgow University as our academic leaders. And alongside that, we had high-level professional coaching, which actually, I think we were a little sceptical about at first, about the need for this, but all came to value highly the impact that had on our own reflection as leaders. We did some very, very in-depth professional learning aligned to our project learning, as well as professional learning in general. So we had a really good grounding in how we see expansive leadership. We looked very carefully at leadership within, between and beyond schools, and we were supported very well to do that with thinking from Graham Donaldson, who spent a great deal of time with us, Chris Chapman from the Robert Owen Centre, and Alma Harris, who was very giving of her time when she was in Scotland last year. We looked very clearly at what makes a high-performing leader, both through the work of Clive Dimmock, but also we had people from Scottish Government. We had Ian Mitchell and David Roy. We had Dr. Andrew McLaughlin from the Royal Bank of Scotland. We had Sir Andrew Cuby. So we looked at leadership from a variety of different areas of public service. As John has just said, we focused very much on what systems leadership was all about and how we can now contribute to system leadership in terms of engaging in high-level debate, thinking about vision and values in a wider sense, and about our professional influence in our own communities and how that will have an impact in a bigger scale. And we looked at the international perspectives on leadership and had access to thinking and discussion with Andrew Hargreaves, Michael Fullan. We were part of the European Network for School Leadership, involved greatly with the GTCS, involvement at the International Professional Development Association, and also at the ICSE, which I have to put in a wee plug for, is coming to Scotland next year. So it was all about coming from Teaching Scotland's Future and looking at how we take our education system from good to great and how we as Skell Fellows can impact on that and be a part of that system level change.
And then what would your focus be throughout this period of time then in becoming a fellow? You know, is it about reflective journals? Is it about writing an essay on expansive leadership? Or is it, what's the project? What's the research?
Well, we all had different projects. My project was really focused around social justice leadership and leadership for inclusion. I'm really passionate about how we meet the needs of all learners in our school community and how we increase participation and engagement. So my project was about that, and took me to Queensland, in fact, in Australia, to look at some work that they have been doing in a leaders program called QSIL, Q-S-I-L, which is Quality Schools Inclusive Leaders. And it looks at four main aspects of leadership in terms of cultural and equity leadership, instructional leadership, learning teacher behaviour and social skills in inclusive schools, and working with families of learners and siblings with where there's disability in a family. So it looks at a very holistic process of leadership and taking a school forward to ensure that we meet the needs of all of our learners and families within. And that was a fascinating study, and I learned a lot from looking at problems that people face in different parts of the world and looking at how we are approaching things and taking it forward. So for me it was fascinating, but I think underpinning the learning for me as well as the project was the extending my professional learning in terms of learning-centered leadership and looking at what that means in terms of impact on school and impact on children and their learning. And looking at the sort of, Steve Mumby talked a lot about this when he was in the National College of Leadership in England, and looked at the four distinct areas of that in terms of classroom leading, which for head teachers, that's our core business, that's what we're about. But it's about leading professional learning, systems learning and our own learning. And I think for me that the fellowship kind of crystallised in those four main areas in the role of a head teacher. And I think one of the things that the CUSL project did was allow me to look in a way more clearly at the alignment that we have in place in Scotland between all of our national policies and curriculum for excellence, and how well these systems align in terms of policy. And for us now, it's how we bring that into reality and practice through a focus on the learner and the learning of teachers and the learning of leaders. So I suppose the project and my professional learning came very closely together during the fellowship.
And just finally, Annette, where is this award, you know, the title of being a Skell Fellow, where is this leading you, or where might it lead you in the near future in terms of your local authority, your school, your community, and also the wider education community within Scotland?
Yeah, for me, I am very much still continuing on that process of embedding the notion of social justice leadership. And actually, the next piece of learning I'm about to become involved in is some research work with Christine Ford in terms of social justice leadership, and a large study that's taking place at the moment. And our whole school is going to be involved in that. And that's a really exciting project. And looking at how we, as an authority in Perth and Kinross, go forward with social justice leadership is very important for me too. And I've been involved in a national working group looking at how we close the attainment gap. And for me, we have to be looking at the widest interpretation of social justice leadership to allow us to meet the learning needs of all of our children effectively. So I suppose that is the ongoing process for me, and how we can work together to achieve that. And I think one of the biggest lessons for me, and I suppose for all of us coming out of the fellowship, is that the huge value that we can add to learning in Scotland by working within, between and beyond schools.
Thank you so much, Annette, for joining us on EduTalk this evening. I'll just remind listeners, you've been listening to Annette Beaton, who's the head teacher at Creef Primary. Just before you go, Annette, we've had a wee comment on Twitter from Margaret Sutherland, who's a lecturer in additional support needs. Margaret says that she agrees with you that we have great legislation, etc., but the gap between the legislation and practice is the hard bit.
Absolutely. Really tough, but we've got to keep at it.
Absolutely. So thanks very much, Annette. Again, apologies that we can't have a one big conversation this evening due to the technology. So I'll just remind listeners what I'm going to do now is, unfortunately, sadly, hang up on Annette, and the line will go dead for 30 seconds or so while I dial out to our third and final guest this evening, Jay Hilbert. So thanks again, Annette. And
thanks, David.
Listeners will be back in 30 seconds or so. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, welcome back everybody for the third part of this evening's show, all about the fellowship programme at the Scottish College for Educational Leadership. We've listened to John Daffern give us an introduction to the fellowship programme, and you've just listened to Annette Beaton, now delighted to welcome Jay Hilbert to the show. Good evening, Jay. Could you just give us a brief background to your career, please?
Good evening, David. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I was a primary school teacher in Liverpool for a number of years before moving up to Scotland, but I was a primary school teacher up here before becoming a head teacher in two small rural schools, and then latterly in Ardrishaig Primary, which is in Argyll and Bute. And in the last 3 months, I've taken up a secondment as an education officer with Argyll and Bute Council.
Thanks very much, Jay. And what about your own journey then to becoming a skilled fellow? Could you just take us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first became aware of the fellowship program, which is maybe a little over a year ago, and that it was an opportunity for serving head teachers to develop their own leadership skills in and then beyond a school context, it really piqued my interest. It also piqued my interest that this was the inaugural cohort as well, and that Skell, I think at the time that we began our fellowship program, hadn't yet formally come into existence. It was in the process of getting an actual footprint and being an existing agency. So it was really exciting to be part of something that was so nascent. So that's really what attracted me to it. I have to say and be really honest, I didn't fully expect or understand completely what I was getting into, but I enjoyed every second of it along the way.
So what kind of commitment did you have to make in terms of time, travel, what kind of new, I suppose, learning spaces, for want of a better phrase, did you find yourself in?
Yeah, well, we committed to 6 network days, half of which were on a Friday, meaning time away from school and all of the kind of difficulties that might bring in, and half of the days were on a Saturday, so we were that was a good thing for most of us, because although we were giving up time of our own, it meant that it didn't impact too much on our schoolwork. As well as the network days, which I think Annette explained really, really well in terms of the people that we were exposed to, or the people we were involved with working with. As well as those days, there were opportunities to go along to the Learning Festival, to meet with people like Alma Harris, and to go along to conferences and things like this. So there were loads of kind of optional additional extras that we had the opportunity to do. The Skell Fellowship Programme began in March of last year and ended in February this year with a residential experience, which really kind of brought everybody together and helped define who we were initially as individual leaders and then ultimately as a part of a fellowship as well.
So it sounds like the networking was a kind of key aspect of it. I would imagine that relationships have developed then that might be quite important for kind of true transformational change across kind of aspects of the education system.
The network was essential, David, and when we first got together, we were a lot of solo voices, and a lot of quite established head teachers who were very successful in their own schools. But as we developed, by about network day three, we really, I felt, started to gel as a network, as a fellowship. It didn't happen straight away, and it took time to build. But what it allowed us to do was once we got into about day three, and we kind of gotten to know each other a little more and become comfortable with each other's company, professionally speaking, it allowed us then to be quite honest in challenging one another. And, you know, and Annette talked about lots of the different kind of very renowned educationalists that we listened to and spoke to and had workshops with. And that was vital. But what was equally vital was the chance to bounce ideas off and challenge each other as a network of head teachers.
I'm just wondering with the great and the good that you met with, I would imagine the kind of role that you were, or the reason you were in their company, they must have been quite keen to get your perspectives on things and to actually speak to you as experts in your own areas.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the feeling of it. But the mix of the great and the good that, you know, who we were exposed to, and the mixture of the people who were involved in developing ourselves as fellows was a very well balanced mix of academics, of policymakers, of international kind of commentators on education, as well as people from other fields, you know, so the police and other kind of public sectors as well, and from business, and one of the big focus of, and I think it was Chris Chapman from the Robert Owen Centre at Glasgow University, who showed us this kind of tripartite Venn diagram where, you know, the one section was practitioners, one section was policymakers, and one section was academics. And he was saying that, you know, one of the big challenges we face, and this comes back to the Twitter comment you mentioned just before when Annette was on, was how do we bridge that gap between policy and practice and make sure that it's informed by robust research.
Now, you've become a fellow, Jay, and, you know, I'm just wondering, again, like I asked Annette, how this is actually playing out for you at present or has done so far. I mean, I noticed that the Scale team have just tweeted a moment ago that, you know, the idea is that Scale fellows, I know time will be an issue as usual, but might represent Scale at conferences and events, crucially, I suppose, become a kind of new badge, a new name in national steering groups, and also, crucially, further develop the actual program itself. Is that something that you've started on or are interested in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are many benefits. You know, the first one was individually, professionally for me and the learning that I undertook, and then the impact that that had on my school last year in terms of developing leadership. My focus was on teacher leadership. The next benefit is, you know, for my local authority in terms of my being involved in developing a leadership strategy, which is going to be launched early in next session for Argyll and Bute, building on what we already do. And then at a national level, you know, I have already been involved in, I represented Scale at the Learning Festival last year, talking about the fellowship program. There've been other events that I've been involved in. And then one of the partnerships that we have at the moment is with the European Network of School Leadership. And the next network meeting for that is in May in Crete. And I'll be going along with John Daffin and Leslie Whelan to talk to the European partnership about the work of Scale, both what we've achieved so far, and it is very early days, but also what we're going to be achieving in the future as well.
That sounds fantastic, Jay. And it sounds like you're getting extra responsibilities. I suppose, in a sense, being given extra permissions by your employers. And I suppose this is all tied into, it may be slightly different for each person, but there's a certain process that folk have to go through to get onto the fellowship programme. Am I right in saying that, in terms of agreement with your employers?
That's absolutely, it goes beyond now agreement with employees, because, you know, our head of service and education manager have been tasked with the kind of the first leet, if you like. You know, if 15 head teachers in Argyll and Bute, for example, wanted to apply for the fellowship programme, then the first kind of sift comes through the local authority before going to SCIL to do the final kind of selection now. So it goes beyond me as a fellow merely having permission to do this. But actually, I need to be bringing something back to my employer. It's a very mutually beneficial arrangement. So, you know, SCIL are getting, you know, some of my learning and some of my time to help in what they're trying to achieve. But so is Argyll and Bute. And in actual fact, both things are the same. And I have to say, and I don't often do this, I'm certainly not always a company man, but Argyll and Bute and the education team here have been superb in supporting me through the fellowship, and we've got one of our head teachers in the new cohort which has just begun for this year, and we're continuing to support her in the way that I was supported last year.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, Jay, what advice would you have for someone who had an experienced, you know, recognised as an effective leader, in whatever area of Scottish education or area of the country? You know, why would you recommend the fellowship programme to them, and what things might they want to bear in mind as they're going through the application process and indeed actually starting the programme itself?
I would say that the fellowship programme has been singularly for me the most, the deepest and most important piece of ongoing professional learning, or the thread of professional learning that I have had probably ever. It gives an opportunity, as I said before, not only to mix with and learn from the great and the good, but also colleagues across the country who are working on similar things as you are. It really gives a focus, especially for head teachers who are maybe in their second school, or maybe, you know, in their second decade of being a head teacher. It's a real opportunity to refresh your thinking and to challenge your thinking and make sure that you continue to be or get to the cutting edge of leadership development.
Thanks very much, Jay, for joining us on EduTalk this evening. I'm just looking at all the Twitter names that I could reel off. You know, Jay's on Twitter, and we've got Gillian Hamilton's on Twitter. So if anybody's interested in finding out more information, obviously John gave the SCIL web address at the top of the programme. You might want to pop onto Twitter and search the hashtag EduTalk, and you'll see what people have been talking about in the back channel, and you'll get a link to all the different Twitter names from all the people that have appeared on this show and the previous one. So again, if you prefer more traditional email, you can just email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk if you've got any questions or comments, having listened to the podcast, for any of our guests this evening, John, Annette and Jay. So thanks again, Jay, and best wishes for the future, and thanks to everyone for listening.